Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed and this is Marek Larwood.
Hello, film lovers and film listeners. That doesn't even make sense. I'm sorry, I'm hungover. And I think I'm still drunk.
Both.
I was walking, I walked here, and I was walking like an old man who'd shut himself. I was that hungover. And I could see people were avoiding me because I was walking funny, because I didn't want to be sick. I haven't got that drunk. I was out till 4 o'clock last night, and now it's about midday. And I was with these American people, and it was just not right.
Where did you go?
All sorts of places, and then people start doing shots, and then it. And I've got after I do this podcast, I've got to do a 3-hour radio show, and I can barely walk.
Well, luckily you don't need to do a lot of walking in radio.
But I've got to walk there and be in a hot room. I'm going to park and be articulate. I can barely talk. This is just a start. I've got to do another 3 hours of talking after this.
I mean, I don't want to undermine you, but I'd say you're more articulate now than you usually are.
This is how drunk people start becoming drunks. People say, "Do you know what? You're much more fun."
Yeah, drunk. You are a boring ass.
You've actually got personality now.
People don't often say it about people who are hungover, though, do they? You are so much more fun when you're hungover.
You're going out drinking tonight? Yeah. I'll come round tomorrow morning then.
We can have breakfast.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we've seen some films, haven't we?
Yes, I went to my new cinema.
Oh, how was it?
I'm equidistant between two cinemas. One's a new art house that's opened up, which means I don't know if it's supposed to be a cinema or not. It made me realise how much cinemas have come on without previously realising it.
How do you mean?
The seats were the old stools, you know, the old. They clearly bought like 4 rows of seats from what looked from a 1920s cinema. So they weren't very comfortable.
Yeah.
They were straight back, so it wasn't a comfortable experience. And you walked in, and you were really close to the screen, so there's only 4 rows. And the light was right when you walked in. It was so everyone could see each other sitting down. It was like going to starting a class at school. So there was no anonymity there, which I think I really like about the cinema. So I was there, and it was too full, wasn't enough space for people, so that made me instantly hate it. And it smelled of paint still.
Oh, that's the smell. I've never even considered the smell of a film.
Yeah, smell of paint. So
they're pretty inert, most cinemas, aren't they?
Yes.
I mean, the smell never really hits my nostrils.
No, it's true. You don't really get a smelly. I mean, I went to see Kick-Ass, and someone in the three rows ahead of me puked up.
Oh,
well, but we could
because
tell, no,
of the graphic detail.
No, we just the smell is sick. Suddenly,
they might not have puked up. They might have just opened a Tupperware of sick.
That might be the case. Yeah. Well, I should have asked. Really. But I thought they might be mental, having puked up and stayed sitting down in the cinema.
Yeah.
Or they might have been. That might be me. Now come back in a time machine or something. I don't know.
I had one of. Our awkward cinema experiences, or rather I witnessed it. Luckily it didn't happen to me.
This week,
yeah.
What happened?
Where, about half an hour into the actual film, so this guy arrived, probably, if you count the adverts at the beginning, an hour late to the starting of this film. And he was sort of shuffling around, you know, big sort of coat and hat.
A masturbator?
I was thinking more a vagrant. But,
oh, okay.
But he wandered in, and there were only about eight people in, and it was in screen one, like the main screen. And he walked down the row and sat right next to another guy.
Oh, no.
But the guy's credit, excuse me, the guy's credit, at the at full volume while the film was going on, he just went, here, what's your game? There's an entire cinema here for you to sit doing. You sit next to me. Fuck off.
Perfect.
And the guy got up and moved.
Did
he? And he stayed for the whole film. And I know, because as you say, it's dark in normal cinemas. As I walked past him, he seemed to be holding a bottle of what looked like Worcestershire sauce that he was drinking from. Very odd.
But why would you go and sit next to someone?
Right next to the... Well, if you're going to try and pickpocket them in the dark is the only thing I can think of. Or you're lonely. Those are the two things.
But I had that at work once. So I was temping and I sat down. And some woman came in and sat down right next to me and didn't address it, but sat down as if it was perfectly normal in the canteen. It was really odd.
It's like if someone sits next to you on the bus and there are plenty of double seats available.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, that is threatening.
Yeah.
Really threatening.
Yeah. But people were completely oblivious to it sometimes. Very odd. What film? Do you want to talk about your film first? I need to have a break from talking.
Okay.
We nearly finished this podcast.
Oh, yeah, this one's nearly done. I saw a French film prompted by your love of French films.
Oh, Très bien, David. Très bien.
Merci beaucoup.
Qu'est-ce que s'appelle le film?
I don't know its name in French, actually. It's called The Strange Colour of Your Body's Tears.
I mean, that sounds like... The Strange Colour of Your Body's Tears.
Yeah.
Basically, just... No, I wasn't crying. I was just having a piss.
That's right. And it's a sort of... almost sort of surreal thriller about a man in a block of flats whose wife goes missing, and he starts knocking on the doors of his neighbours to see if anyone's seen her, and they all start telling their weird stories, and then the whole thing just descends into madness. Quickly, like if you imagine sort of Brazil or something like that being the archetypical, the structure collapses around the film as the protagonist goes mad and it ends up being crazy.
Okay.
This does that after about the first 15-20 minutes.
What made you go and see it?
Just to tell you the truth, it's a current release. And this one I saw on my telly because it's a small release, so they did that simultaneous release across all media.
Yeah.
So I had the dog one evening. I was like, I'm not going to go to the cinema. I'll leave him on his own to bark at the neighbours. So I watched that instead. It was cinematically, incredible, beautiful, yeah. Really, really, really well shot. But total wank.
Rubbish from the start.
Absolute cock. Not rubbish from the start. When he's a character looking for his wife, and he knocks on two of his neighbour's doors, and they start sharing with him about when they lost somebody, which seems sort of inappropriate when his wife is literally missing now, but it doesn't quite work. But they tell these stories that are really creepy and really good.
And are they separate narratives?
Yeah, it jumps back and then it comes back. But it does that
all
twice.
All set in the flat? Or
within the block of flats, okay. Yeah. And it does that twice, and then it just completely loses its way and becomes just nonsense, mad nonsense.
Maybe they ran out of money.
Well, no, I mean, it's complicated nonsense. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, purposefully. It feels like somebody has persevered and continued to get better and better and better at making that student art film we've all seen. And it was very like that. Very, very like that, but just expertly done, but still not worth seeing.
I'm looking on IMDb. It's got a 5.9.
Yeah.
It's been nominated for some awards at some obscure film festivals.
That's right, yeah. It's written and directed by a man and a lady together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I can see. Helene Catet and Bruno Fazzani.
That's them, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's full of The strange colour of your body's tears is by the end clearly referring to blood.
Oh, okay.
And it's sort of erotic and violent. There's lots of pickaxe holes in the head that look like vaginas going around it.
Do you think the guy with the Worcester sauce would have liked it?
I think he would have loved it.
He should have stayed in and watched that film.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I wanted to like it because there was clearly some good stuff about it, but I could not ignore the fact I was really, really bored. It was surreal, but without any real human character or reactions, any reality to it. It just went crazy and continued to be crazy, like a music video without a song over it.
This sounds like it's going to have quite a lot of nudity in it.
No, not really. It had repetitive shots of his wife sort of purring with erotic ecstasy as somebody ran a blade over her nipple. But it was the same shot again, used about 8 times in the film or something.
I think it is a budget thing.
It didn't look low budget, but it more than likely was. But it's one of those things where I'm happy for things to go a bit crazy and for me to not know what's happening if it sort of ascends from the mundane. But this was just like a really boring dream that you want to wake up from.
Most of my dreams are like that. I think the film I'm going to talk about is very similar. But first of all, shall we have a look at the emails?
Yeah, sure.
But what do people do?
What do you mean?
Well, I should carry on talking.
Yeah.
What do people do if they want to contact us about some sort of business?
Well, if you want to air your business with us, then you can email us at dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. And that's the main way.
Mm-hmm.
Or go to Facebook.com/filmfandango right on there. If you just want to share movie related stuff with other people who like movies, then stick it on our Facebook page. Why the hell not? And yes, if you'd like to tweet us, then you can tweet at Marek Larwood, at Mr. David Reed, or at Film Fandango.
But listen, how much do I have to pay for this podcast?
You don't have to pay anything.
That sounds good.
Well, it sounds great, doesn't it? And lots of people would take advantage of that.
But our listeners wouldn't do that, would they?
No, our listeners are good, kind-hearted people.
Because this podcast runs solely on donations to pay for the hiring of the...
It runs solely on fumes, let's be honest.
On the something... To hire the something like that.
Yeah, it's... We do this podcast for free, and we've been doing it for coming up on 130 episodes. That's 130 weeks of shows. So if you would like to keep it alive, let's be honest, then please do donate, I don't know what is an appropriate amount for a podcast.
£1,000.
And £1,000 a show. I don't know what, for
£2,000.
Half an hour to 45 minutes of entertainment, I don't know what, whatever you deem is appropriate, but we'd really, really appreciate it if you could. Go to filmfandango.co.uk. Not .com, because .com just has a list of the episodes. Co.uk is the one you want, and you can follow the link from there. And thank you to everyone who has. You are heroes.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for paying to listen to a man who is still drunk and can't form a sentence. I'll tell you what, someone's written in.
Good, what do they want?
Well, I was talking about people, the new trend of people... using their smartphones in cinemas and the blue screen things. Robert Burris, who I think won our Oscar prediction competition, has written an email in. You're good at reading.
Thanks, mate. What does Robert Burris speak like?
Like someone who's a bit cross.
Marek, I feel every single part of your pain.
Not today.
Whenever someone checks their phone in the cinema, I want to scream. They don't even need to be sitting in front of you. A person on the same row, about 10 seats away, can still invade your peripheral vision. I'm the only person in the world who still doesn't own a phone of any kind, so I find it very difficult to understand what these losers think they're up to. If they have the time to see Grand Budapest Hotel at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday, there is no way they need to check their email. It could be worse, though. When I went to see the RSC doing one of those plays that they do, some idiot in front of me took photos of the stage every 5 minutes on her giant phone. Because there's no point seeing Shakespeare unless you can tweet photographic proof to your friends as you watch. Best, Rob.
He's quite right.
Why isn't he got a phone? He doesn't have a phone,
and he thought she had a giant phone. She might have been taking it on an iPad. I've seen that. Have you seen it like concerts where people hold up iPads to film the whole thing?
There's even an advert now about mums and dads on filming Christmas nativity plays.
Yes.
That most people film it rather than watch it.
But if you're a smug git, you've got the 58 megapixels, so you can just hold it and zoom in, and then when you zoom in, it'll be like really shaky.
You think the school just video it and charge?
Yeah. Or just put it up online for them to get for free if it's going to help the evening.
Yeah. You know,
why not? Doesn't cost anything, just a bit of goodwill, doesn't it? Just a bit of goodwill.
It's true. And there's another email as well.
Thank you for your email, Rob. You're quite right. People are assholes. And get a phone, for God's sake.
That is weird. It makes me think he's either a spy or he's just come out of prison.
Or he just, you know, he's independently wealthy and doesn't need to do anything.
But if I imagine people who don't have phones, wouldn't listen to podcasts.
I mean, that's an incredible leap. Maybe he copies them all onto cassette. A friend copies them all onto cassette for him. How do you get in contact with this, Rob? You don't have a phone, but you do have the internet.
I'm
amazed.
Talking of weirdos.
Yeah.
Christopher Webb's emailed in again.
Ah, old Chris Webb. What does he want?
I don't know. I think he's emailing about another email. I think it's just a bit of a story about him watching films, but I know that our listeners would like to hear it.
Okay.
You're good at reading, aren't you, David?
I'm okay at it, yeah. What voice do you want this week? He says, please read this mail in the style of Windsor Davies.
David, that's all his voice is, isn't it?
That's it, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. Was he not slightly Welsh?
Was he Welsh? Yes, he was Welsh. Yes, I don't remember him very well. What was it called, that show?
Ain't Half Hot, Mum.
Dear lovely boys, I really enjoyed Mary's email last week about films that had improved when dubbing into a foreign language, and thought you'd like one that I enjoyed. During a school trip to France in the mid-80s, we went to the cinema to see Police Academy 2, The First Assignment, or as it was called in French, Police Academy 2, Un Boulot, which I think means get to work. While we couldn't really understand what was going on, Michael Winslow's helicopters and machine guns still sounded the same. The movie really came into its own when Bobcat Goldthwait's Zed appeared. His incomprehensible nasal whining dumped into French was worth the trip and made the film much more enjoyable than its English language equivalent. And I know it's TV and not a movie, but I've also seen Hello, Hello dumped into French, and it works surprisingly well. As for the second half of Mary, Miri, whatever that name was, mail regarding a movie being improved by where you watched it, I live in Hawke's Bay, New Zealand, and I'm surrounded by vineyards. No siren here, Marek. One of the vineyards has a summer film festival, so a few years back, I watched Sideways while lounging on a blanket in the middle of rows of grapes. I was drinking Merlot. Lots of love, as always, Chris. He also goes on to say, If you want a film about moving house, which is, we talked about.
Oh, yes.
Give Jack Rosenthal's The Chain a try.
Well, thank you, Christopher Webb. I'm starting to get a whole picture of his life now.
Yeah, I mean, vineyards, New Zealand. It sounds
a man
lovely.
In his pants.
He also said,
lying in amongst grapes, I'm imagining.
Oh, yeah, constantly lying in his pants.
Yeah.
He didn't say whether it was any good seeing Sideways amongst grapes, but I imagine that was his implication.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris Webb.
I've been to see a film.
What did you go to see?
Oh, my God, you're going to leave it in?
What did you go to see?
I went... Now, you have to leave it in, because otherwise it just sounds like I'm laughing for no reason.
Yourself.
And I'm talking now, so you have to leave that you burped in there.
Okay.
That, hopefully, people will complain about that. I went to see The Double.
Okay.
What is The Double?
Stephen Ayoade?
Richard Ayoade's film. It's based on a Dostoevsky novel.
Yeah.
And my voice is breaking.
I look forward to this.
or a novella. But what happens in it?
Can I guess what happens from the trailer? Because I've seen the trailer.
Yes.
It's Jesse Eisenberg, right?
Yes.
And he works in some sort of Brazil-esque future bureaucratic dystopia.
Very, very much like Brazil, yeah.
He's in love with Mia Wasikowska.
Yes.
But he's too shy to do anything about it.
Yes.
And then his doppelganger turns up, someone who isn't his twin but looks very, very like him.
Yeah.
And is everything he isn't. And ends up actually getting the girl but isn't a nice chap, and so he ends up having to defeat him?
Sort of thing. It's also, I don't know if there's any spoilers, it's pretty much done it in the trailer. You could see, I don't even know, it was based on a Dostoevsky thing. So I think I only read Crime and Punishment, which is an amazing novel, and it's all about neurosis and people, him going slightly mad because he's guilty because he's killed someone.
Right.
That's Crime and Punishment. I can do spoilers on that, it's about 200 years old. And it's all about him going mad and whether he thinks, or you know.
I haven't finished the Bible yet, so don't tell me what happened.
So I can see why it's like that. It just feels it borrows really heavily from Brazil and Terry Gilliam's sort of
oeuvre. It looked like it borrowed from one set in Brazil in particular, but didn't really leave it. You know, the bullpen writing desks and stuff. No bad thing if you do something with it, but
so it's just a film. It's like the best way to describe it. It's like an anxiety dream. So those dreams when you think you go to school and you know in just your pants, or you've got an exam the next day you haven't revised for, those, or you in a car and you've forgotten how to drive.
It's when you're just awake enough that your rational brain starts going, hang on, but you don't know the lines to a play. What are you doing walking on stage? And then suddenly you don't know.
It's like watching that continuously and a series of events that, unfortunate events that occur to this character, which sort of build upon, you know, he's constantly unfortunate.
Right.
And it's like a bad dream. And I found it monotonous.
Oh.
And I found it boring.
The set in itself, again, just talking from the trailer, but felt repetitive already, but just from the trailer, that everything looked sort of brown and concrete.
Yes, there's a colour palette to it, which is that sort of browny, yellowy, almost 70s...
tobacco stain.
Yeah.
Kind of look.
And it feels, you feel you're trapped in this world. It's very claustrophobic. And it's supposed to be claustrophobic. Even the desks are small desks they're in. Every space is quite small. They've got the rooms they live in are quite in a block, quite small.
Yeah.
It's a sort of dystopian anxiety dream that isn't necessary. People said they found it funny. I didn't see what was funny in this film whatsoever. It's just a bit.
Did you see Submarine?
No.
That was his first film.
Yes, I did, with that young kid.
Yeah,
I did see that. I quite enjoyed that.
I interviewed the cast about it on the red carpet, but I hadn't seen the film, so I just had to bullshit my way through.
I quite enjoyed that, because that's a love story, isn't it? He falls in with a guy, a sort of troubled teenager.
Yes.
I think it's a bit autobiographical, isn't it? A little bit.
I think a little bit. It's sort of coming of age thing.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that. I thought it was good. I thought this was style over substance. And although the acting is good, I mean, Jesse Eisenberg's a great actor. Why would you want to watch something, just things repetitively go wrong for someone? And it's annoying, you know, when things that you know it's going to, everything he does is going to go wrong.
I mean,
becomes annoying.
The justification for that is if it's funny. I mean, you would have thought.
Yeah, it feels a bit now,
because that's the structure of a comedy, isn't it? Often, you know, things just continually go wrong for somebody who deserves better.
And it feels quite old fashioned in that sense. It doesn't feel like a new comedy. It's quite an old. It's like someone doing a remaking a Dickens novel. It feels really. That's why I probably were based on that novella. So you've probably been. I didn't realise that until just now. So apologies.
Have to reappraise all of your bile now.
So you can feel that it's based on an old novel. I'm so inarticulate today.
How's Mia Wasikowska? I quite like her.
Yes, she's very good. I enjoyed all the. There's people we've worked with as well. There's a guy. Let me look up IMDb.
Okay.
I can't. He's not even on here.
Are you sure he was in it?
Yeah, he was a guy. He was in Sorry I've Got No Head, for Cobner Holbrook Brett Smith. He's got a big part in it.
Who?
Cobner. Do you know Cobner?
No. Great name.
He's.
Show me a photo.
I'm showing you a photo now. There he is there.
Okay.
Basically, the casting people in the UK, I don't know if it says, only have in their books about three ethnic minority people.
That's right, yeah.
Who get known for comedy. And once they get known for comedy, they're in every single thing.
Yeah.
Because they don't stretch their imaginations further than that. He's in it. So lots of people we sort of recognise and know from the comedy circuit with small cameo roles in, which is nice to see. I think it... I didn't enjoy it. In effect, it was more like a film showing off, aren't I a classy director? No doubt he's a good director, but the whole point is to enjoy the film. I did not enjoy it, and I'm still drunk.
Were you drunk when you saw it?
No, I was stone cold sober, and I felt bored, and I felt as if I was...
You reached new heights of being sober by watching this film.
Yes, exactly. And I felt trapped in the cinema, like very much like the main character is trapped in the film.
I bet afterwards you felt like having a double.
Yes.
Or maybe a triple scotch.
I don't drink scotch, but I might have had a double double chocolate. Oh, buddy.
He's groaning at your descriptions.
Oh. Well, that's why I give it 5 Marics.
Okay.
And I give that review 1 Maric.
I didn't give The Strange Colour of Your Body's Tears a score. I'm going to give it 2 Davids.
2 Davids.
Yes.
So there we go. There are 2 films that you shouldn't go and watch this week.
Well, it's our new system of a process of elimination, where we tell you the films not to see, and then you go and see something else. Well,
we should do that. We should just do it really drunk. Go and see a film drunk and review it when you're sober.
Or the other way around. See it sober and then review it when you're drunk.
Have you ever been to cinema drunk?
I don't think I have, you know. No, I don't think I have.
I think my toilet breaks would go up astronomically in
I don't think I'd want to do that to the other people watching the film.
Well, I wouldn't go to the toilet in the cinema. I'd leave the cinema and go to the toilet.
Sure, you mean the screen?
Yeah.
Not the cinema. Surely you could use the cinema.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, you'd sit in an aisle at the back, I think, if you were going to do this experiment. I think we should try it once.
I don't ever want to drink again.
Okay.
I didn't even want to drink last night.
Can't undo that. Never go back.
Well, I guess...
Have you ever been drunk in a cinema, listeners? Or have you been affected by any of the issues raised in this programme? If it's alcoholism, we're not interested. But anything humorous or anecdotal, why not email in dearfilmfandango@gmail.com?
Yes.
Yes. That's all for this week. Sorry they've been rubbish films. We have no control over that. We'll be back next week with yet more films and hopefully better ones. But in the meantime...
How many times can you say film in a paragraph?
What, in different contexts?
Yeah.
Why not film a film of some film and film it into us? No, I don't know.
Hey guys, keep watching the films.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.